Welcome back. You are watching AfterBuzz TV and our coverage of the Pyeongchang Olympics. Oh, all right. Netflix picks next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The Olympics. I hear it too.
Do we have it?
Do we have it? We can roll with it though.
Do we have it? Do we not have it?
Well, you told
We got lights. We got lights. All right. Perfect. 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 Now, there we go. There we go. There's my music. There's my music. There we go.
I feel like we're winning
already. Sure. I mean, USA, what? Let's see. USA won figure skating. Nathan Chen. No, he let me down. Lindsey Vonn. No, Lindsey Vonn let me down. Where did the US not let
you
us
know,
down?
It's not always about winning gold, it's about the experiences. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Hey, guys, welcome back. You're watching Netflix Picks on AfterBuzz TV. I know you're thinking, wait, what happened to Netflix News? Well, we're Netflix Picks, and I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media, at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And I'm joined by Ashley Chaney.
Hi, guys. I hope you like the new ring to the name of our show, Netflix Picks. Netflix Picks, it kind of rolls right off the tongue. If you want to tell me that you don't like it or that you do, find me online. I'm at Ashley on camera. Let's talk there.
And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hello, everyone. You can find me on all social media. At Amy Cassandra MTZ, it's slightly chilly, so if you see me shaking or making like shivering sounds, then you know it's okay. We're alive.
And we got Steve Kaufman. You can find him exclusively on Twitter, Steve K-A-U-F-M-A. Oh, wait, no. We got
different.
Mina Wahab in the house.
I look
Mina.
Just like him, though.
Yeah, yeah. Where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
So I don't know what Steve's doing, so I decided to bring Mina in and make this an all-girls panel today.
We're here to outnumber Rick tonight and get him back for all the crap that he's given us. So please jump on him on the chat. Get in him. Get him. Don't get in him. Get on him. Get on him in the chat. For all the mean things that he said, especially to some of us on this panel.
Yeah.
I'm always nice to Mina. I'm always nice to Mina.
Raise
on
your
this
hand.
I have an experience with that side of Rick. Yeah, he's been the nicest.
He's going to be on good behavior tonight because you're here, Mina.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, guys. So first up is... You guys know Ryan Murphy, the show creator of Glee, Nip Tuck, American Horror Story, 9-1-1. Netflix just gave him $300 million for the next 5 years.
That's it?
Yeah, $300 million?
I sort of had the same thought that you do, $300 million. How much does an average episode of like American Horror Story cost?
$300 million though for 5 years. That's a lot of money. I don't
over
know.
Five
I mean,
years?
Or my other question is, have you ladies watched any of his shows?
Yes.
Which one?
Glee.
Okay.
I was at the TCAs for 9-1-1. Does that count?
No. That's fine. I mean, I'm just curious to see like who like on this panel kind of watches Ryan. I mean, I know everybody should know, and eventually, if you're watching Netflix, you will know Ryan Murphy for sure. But I just want to know on this panel, like who maybe is a dedicated watcher on this panel of his stuff. Like I used to watch Glee back in the day, catch episodes of 9-1-1 here and there, but I have not really watched American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm. You know my thoughts on horror. That's an absolute no-go. But Glee, yeah, I used to get down with big time. I went to like a CD signing of Glee and met Ryan Murphy and the cast in New York City. Yeah, when I was like a wee...
Which season?
Glee.
Season one.
Yeah. Season okay.
Yeah.
I saw them in concert at Universal.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, season one was awesome. Season two was good, and then I think I fell off. But
I'm the same way. I don't know about you ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it here and there, like kind of in and out of it. I was never like a diehard Glee fan.
Gleek.
Gleek. Yeah. Gleek. See.
Oh, is that? Okay,
I wasn't one, but I know the term.
Yeah.
I mean, So did you ladies ever watch like Nip Tuck or? I mean, obviously you didn't watch American Horror Story, but I don't know if you ladies watch. That's probably a big killer here in terms of getting a lot of views, I think, is our probably after show for American Horror Story.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to watch it. I've heard really good things, so I just never jumped on that train.
See some people in the chat.
Yeah, I need to get into it. It's just like I have a thing about watching horror at home. I just don't watch horror at all.
Because it's a terrible idea. Because then you're
like,
at home
so
in the dark.
Jumpy and restless.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, we don't
that's
need
fine.
That in our lives.
It's fine.
Amy, you're married and you live with someone that can protect you.
Yeah, but what if I'm home alone? Then I have my cat.
Oh, yeah. You and your cat, get them.
You have a black cat.
Yeah.
So that can like spook away spirits and it's a very
good luck.
Or it's very telling of your dark heart. I don't know which, but
you know. He's actually really, really cool. So he protects me and sometimes he just gets a little feisty.
Which, funny enough, I have a scratch from it. But no, I don't think that scary things deter me away from watching them, just because I used to be really, really scared of, you know, horror. But I don't know. I don't know what changed.
Like, if it's twisted and not, like, the annoying like, cheap scares, I hate the cheap scares. If it's, like, Gone Girl and it's a psychological thriller,
that's not a horror.
I can't do horror. I can do psychological thrillers. I love those.
What did you consider Get Out? Did you consider that?
That was my favorite movie of last year.
Okay, I know we're derailing a little bit, but
yeah. No, it's Oscar season. I mean, we're probably actually...
It was good, because it was also in some ways funny, but, I mean, obviously, there's so much going on there where there's a lot of social commentary, there's a lot of dark comedy, and, I don't know, it was... So
well
done.
Do you say horror or do you say psychological thriller?
Psychological thriller, okay. For sure. I think it was marketed as a horror, but it was definitely a psychological thriller.
I just call it dark comedy.
I was horrified for an hour watching that film.
I call it didn't breathe. Like, so great, though. Oh. It was so unsettling. It was amazing. There were so many, like, cool things that slipped into there, like a lot of great imagery and... Like that deer motif.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of good stuff.
Well, so now Netflix has Shonda. Now it has Ryan Murphy. I guess we're going to see who the next big person is and getting a ton of money.
Genji Cohen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got Genji as well.
Orange is the New Black.
Which Genji obviously is very famous for many of her shows, but including Weeds, which is marijuana. Is that, like, not cool to say, guys? Marijuana, weed show, whatever. Weed show. And then, but Disjointed, I think we were just talking about, it had season two, and then...
Yeah, so if you never jumped on the Disjointed bandwagon, which I didn't do, then maybe you don't have to, because it only got one season, which is kind of, I don't know, like, Netflix is pretty, they're...
It got two seasons, but then it's not.
It got two seasons.
It's not going after the second season.
Okay, yeah. So it got two seasons, but it's not going. Yeah, it's not going forward anymore. So I'm sorry for the fans that do love the show. I can officially say that it's not. There's no more Disjointed.
But maybe you can catch up on all of your weed, pot, Mary Jane, whatever the cool things are. Words to say. Oh. Programming until Genji's stuff starts coming out, because I bet she'll have something.
Like Glow season two that she's probably executive producing, which we're waiting. Like Amy and I are dying to wait for the trailer to drop. They just finished wrapping a few weeks ago.
I am so pumped. So pumped.
All right, well, I'm gonna move on from showrunners, and something that they dropped this week. I saw it pop up. I knew that it was coming out, and I think it is their way of trying to jump on the Stranger Things bandwagon. And I was very underwhelmed. But a TV show called Everything Sucks.
Yeah.
Did you see it, Amy?
I have a lot of comments on that.
Yes, please.
So, first of all, it doesn't feel anything like Stranger Things. Stranger Things is on a whole new level. I think it's super easy to watch. You don't have to really think about it. It's great to have on. And, like, I watched 5 episodes, no problem.
Yeah, but
and
did you...
I cared about these kids.
Really?
Yes.
See, every show has, like, the annoying character. And I was like, every single one of these people are annoying, therefore, I do not care about them.
You do not feel any kind of empathy for those kids. You were in that same exact spot.
See, they're trying to trap guys like me, because I know the 90s very, very well. I know my six-pack of Zima, which is in one of the episodes. That's a spoiler. But
wait, can we back it up? Back the truck up? Beep, 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 beep. What is this show about?
It's literally Freaks and Geeks meets Stranger Things without the sci-fi fantasy aspect to it. So
but they're younger than Freaks and Geeks,
like Goldberg to me, but 90s instead of 80s.
Yeah, Freaks and Geeks was in the 80s. Okay. So this is all set in the 90s, and I think that's the trap. That's the ploy, is that if you have a nostalgia thing, like Stranger Things took place in the 80s, so this one takes place in the 90s. So if you have like nostalgia for the 90s and all things 90s, then I think that's the trap of trying to reel people in, but they're failing. It's just like, I feel like it's just like a lot of little gimmicks and props, and I don't care about the characters.
I care about the characters.
Well, you care. How come you didn't finish it? How many? Like,
no,
there's like...
I have sleeping to do. I have eating to do.
Amy has what's called a life, Rick. So we want to talk to you about what that means.
Oh, but when it comes to Stranger Things, she finished it up in like a day.
No,
like
I did not.
She didn't go out. She's in her pajamas all day long, snuggling with her cat Spielberg. And
order in the court. No. No, I like taking my time with things. But with this show, it's so sweet. There are things where I'm like, oh.
It's heartwarming.
Yes.
Yeah. Mina, you watched it, right?
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
Okay, great.
And thoughts? Like when I first watched it, like I had gotten halfway through, like a little bit through, and I was like, I'm not like in love with it. Then I kept watching a little bit more, and I was like, okay, I can get down with this. Like
you
this
can.
Is okay. Like this is good.
So like a but like a slow burn, right? Not like I gotta binge this and try
Yeah, I have no meaning. No,
meaning like you can you can kind of just like watch it over time, not necessarily have to watch it in a like I can't wait for the next episode.
But it's also like there's nothing that makes that compels you to want to see the next episode. It's not like This Is Us or like something where it ends in something and you're dying to learn more about the character. They don't
This Is Us. You want to cry every time you watch that show. That's why I don't watch that show. You want to be depressed.
So this doesn't have anything where you're like, let me see what happens. It feels more of like one of those slice of life stories more than something that's plot driven. It's more like character driven.
Yeah, this one for sure.
But the characters aren't super interesting. They're just cute.
Guys, come on in the chat. Back me up with this, please.
What I will...
What's that?
Oh, yeah, Zayas. What up, man?
Hey, Zayas.
What's your thoughts? Tell me.
So he said earlier, I like the show.
Yeah,
Zayas, you don't know what you're talking about, man.
We didn't say we hated it. We just said, it's okay. It's
he also said, whoever said it's Stranger Things obviously didn't watch the show. Did you finish it all?
I watched like 3 episodes, and that's when
Dude,
I was like,
I'm on the 5th episode. No, I finished the 5th episode, and you think that it's like, oh, this is cute. Like, it's adorable. Let me watch something else. But then it turns into something more beautiful, and there's more meaning behind it. It's not just, you know, it's not Stranger Things or trying to be Stranger Things. It's
no, I'm just talking about taking a group of high schoolers and like they very much use the world of the 80s for that. So like these guys like a group of like high schoolers and they're using 90s.
Same formula.
Yeah.
Different people.
Right. But no, but it's like so I said, but no, different. Without the science fiction fantasy. I mean, like, you know, they have AV Club.
Okay, fine. So totally different then.
You know, so
that. Oh my gosh, no. Okay, I think you guys listening and watching should definitely give it a shot. It's super easily digestible. It's super cute. You don't need to be a fan of the 90s.
You can have it playing in the background too. You don't really need to.
Because it'll pull you in.
Because Amy was born like in 2010. That's why she's like, you don't be a fan of the 90s. She doesn't know the 90s.
I'm 8. I am 8 years
exactly.
Old,
see, she doesn't know the 90s. She can't appreciate the 90s like I can. No, I will say here is something that's. I will say this is why you should watch it, is because I really like the fact that they're using a black male character to drive the show kind of as the lead, and then everybody else surrounding that. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot of different races, Asian, black, that, you know, like that grew up in like that era of high school, was a nerd. And so like in terms of having a character and focusing a character on that aspect of it is why you should watch it.
Well, I mean, as some diversity. People in our chat room here are talking about, I mean, if everything sucks, as the title implies, does the show itself suck?
No!
It's something that you don't need to binge. You can watch very gradually.
Yeah,
but that's why I was like saying it's not Stranger Things. And if you want to see the better version, and I checked to make sure that it was on Netflix, just watch Freaks and Geeks.
No.
Because that, you will sit down and you will get sucked in, and then when it's over, you'll be disappointed that it didn't get a season 2. Okay. But I think these days, if that would have gone on a Netflix, I think it would have gone for a couple seasons.
Freaks and Geeks is great. I'm not going to fight you on that.
You watched. So you watched it.
I did.
So Ashley knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's the smartest thing I've ever heard Ashley Cheney say on this panel.
Get him, you guys. Get him.
Get him.
Nina, help. Insult compliments.
No, I can't talk about this show yet because I haven't watched it yet. I'm still. I mentioned last week, but I'm deep into this episodes.
Oh yeah, what season are you on now?
So I'm almost through season 2, and I think there's actually there's like 5 seasons. So
mm-hmm, yep.
I'm pretty deep in it. It's sort of the curse of season 2 is starting to slow down and peter out.
Which happens to a lot of series.
A lot of shows. I feel like they weren't maybe anticipating a season 2.
Well, because they try their hardest in season 1 to make sure that they can get a season 2, and then it's like, oh, now we've got season 2.
Let's
figure out where we're going to go with this because we put everything into season 1. It's like sometimes it's like bands. Sometimes like the first album of a band is like one of the best because like they put like all their heart and soul into it, and then like the next album that comes out is kind of like, well, we've got to get this stuff out really fast, and people are like, that album wasn't as good as the first album.
Like when we were all forced to watch or listen to U2 on our cell phones. Is that what you're referring to? Yeah.
U2?
It was a tragic
album that
time.
Was force-fed down every iPhone user's throat.
Are you not? You're an Android user or what?
No, I have an iPhone.
Yeah. You don't remember the time when...
Oh, no. Because you're talking one of the biggest U2 fans there is. So that's why I was like, wait, what are you talking about? I was like, when did we have this conversation outside of AfterBuzz? I'm confused. Because... But Mina, since you're on our panel, what is it that you watch? What compels you to watch... Like, what are you watching and what compels you to like either binge it or to slow burn a show.
Okay, well, I actually have a really good recommendation for you guys. It's actually a show I watched last year, but it just came out to Netflix today, mm-hmm. and it's called Imposters. And it's a show that I would have never thought that I would like. It was on Bravo. But it's a drama. And Bravo isn't really known for their dramas. That's not really their niche or their area of expertise. But the thing about that show, which makes it bingeable, is that you always want to know what's going to happen next. And I remember when I was watching the show, there was never the option to binge watch it because it was on Bravo and it was released
once
a week. And I was dying. I was like, why isn't this show on Netflix? Like, this belongs in a different format. And now it's available for everyone to stream right now. So, like, that's probably one of the most bingeable shows.
What is it about?
It's basically about this con artist, this female
con artist. I like it already.
Yes. And she's working for some people, and she makes men fall in love with her. And then...
Oh, it sounds like all the women that I know.
Changes her identity. Women that you should depending on who she's with and, like, her act. Like, everything about it. It's so great. It's like the dramatic version of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Which is one of my favorite movies
with Steve Martin and 70s. That's from the 80s, thank you.
No, it's from the 70s. Michael Caine.
Let's Steve Martin.
No, 80s.
I'm positive it's late.
And I will bet you $100 on air. I'll bet you $100 on air that it's from the
80s. Let's clearly lay out the terms.
80s.
There's no way it's the 80s. It's late
70s. We've got Nina saying late 70s, and we've got
on air. I'm betting $100.
Locking it down for 80s.
I'm not betting anything. I'm in the entertainment industry.
Counting on our people to...
No, Amy. Okay.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
That is...
Late 70s.
19.
Dun, dun, dun.
88.
Oh! Should be $100! $100! Right here. That's how confident I am. Okay. I know my 1980s.
That's because Rick was 30 in the 1980s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, what? I'm like 60 now or something, right?
Yeah.
Asian don't raisin. So, who is there somebody that we'd recognize that's in Imposters?
Yeah, Inbar Lavi, who's from Prison Break, is pretty recognizable. Hmm? Also, Stephen Bishop. I don't know what else he's in, actually, but I know he's been in some stuff.
No, you sold me. I'm going to go home tonight and watch it after this.
It's really good.
Well, so, a lot of people in the chat room are like, tuning in just to talk about The Imposters. So if you guys love The Imposters, tell us below why. Tell us why you love it. I want to hear.
And also, there's so much about it that's unexpected. There's so many twists and turns. So, like, there's alliances that are being made, and you never know what's going to happen until you keep watching. And
sounds like Survivor.
It's so good.
How many seasons are there?
One season, but it actually got renewed for season two.
So there's only one.
So it's worth watching. It's definitely worth watching.
It got picked up again.
Those one season shows freak me out, though, because if I fall in love and then it's not going to come back.
Hence Freaks and Geeks, I know. Maybe you shouldn't watch Freaks and Geeks because then you'll be depressed.
It's a tough one to not have.
Is Imposters anything like what Red Sparrow sounds like?
The Jennifer Lawrence movie? Jennifer Lawrence coming out in a few weeks?
Red Sparrow sounds like it would be a little bit more intense. Okay. It just seems like more of a psychological thriller to me.
Okay.
This one seems more like a drama with bits of dark comedy. I can't envision Red Sparrow having any sort of comedy in it.
Is it a half hour or is it an hour?
Half hour. Actually, I need to double check on that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't remember. But it's
if it was
really
on Bravo, it'd be 30 to 45 minutes or 30 to 42 minutes because without the commercials.
Jinx.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a little longer than 30.
Cool. That actually, I might try to watch that.
Yeah.
Got a lot of people asking about another show that starts with an I. Are you going to talk about another show that starts with the I? An I? The Innocents?
You bring it up.
What is it?
The Innocents? Do you guys know about The Innocents? We've got some people asking in the chat room. I know nothing about it, so that's why I'm asking you guys. Or in the chat, whoever's asking about The Innocents, what do you know about The Innocents, and what should we know about The Innocents that we don't?
But if I don't, I will next week.
I know. Rick is always, if someone's, you know,
if you ask me something, then I'm gonna take a look at it or watch it or at least have some sort of discussion to say what it's about or if I liked it, if I didn't like it.
It's not on our radar, whoever's asking about The Innocents, but please put it on ours so that we can talk about it.
It's a film.
The Innocents is a film.
Yes.
Hot off the press. Great.
In 19th century Argentina, when a man returns to his family's plantation after 15 years, it revives a violent past, slave abuses, and evil spirits.
Okay. Well, cool.
I mean, if that's the Innocents.
We shall check it out. We shall check it out. The Innocents is about a forbidden romance that ran away from their parents. Cool. Thanks, Ivan.
Looks like it's Guy Pearce.
I'm super curious to see what the rating percentages on each show for all of us based on what we watch. I'd really want to know.
Yeah, just give me a thumbs up or five stars. that's what I'll take.
It doesn't even show a percentage for me. What does that mean?
No, it usually does on Netflix. I know. So the way it's rated is based on what you watch, not how good the show actually is.
No,
I
know.
So it's like if you watch a certain type of show, it might have a 99% rating because they think you're going to love it, but it could be like a terrible show.
I think, but we had this conversation. I mean, do you watch? I used to go by the star meter. Mm-hmm. It used to get me, like, normally it was spot on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then they went to like thumbs up or percentages based on like what you watch.
Right, right.
And so the star thing has been failing me more recently. But yeah. Do they throw it at you on the algorithm? Yeah. What catches you?
Like, I think the percentage stuff is usually spot on because. And not always, though, because for me, for example, I'll get certain comedies that are recommended to me because I love comedy, but I'm very particular with my comedy, so
Give us some examples.
I love Dave Chappelle, but I'm not going to enjoy, like, Amy Schumer's stand-up as much as...
Get out!
I'd enjoy
Get out to
Dave
the studio.
Chappelle's stand-up.
Hey, congratulations to Amy Schumer. She just got married. I don't know who she got married to, but she got married. Congratulations.
A chef, her she's husband. Smart. Chris
I like
Fisher.
Amy Schumer. I just think when stars get super huge... and they get a lot of recognition for their comedy, they start becoming more mainstream, and their comedy kind of becomes lowbrow. Like, it's harder
Nobody's
to
Nobody's bigger than Dave Chappelle. Like, he can't...
Well, he's the exception to the rule. I'm talking about the majority. Dave Chappelle, like, can leave for 10 years to God knows where, come back, and...
Just a little
amazing.
Mental breakdown.
No,
really
I love... No, because you're actually taking me in the next direction where I was going to go.
Yeah.
So... If you guys were anywhere in LA, LA has billboards all over the place, and Netflix buys a lot of these billboards. They had a tambourine up. They had a tambourine up once, and it was like, what is that all about? And it was because it was for Chris Rock's show his special that they're calling it Tambourine. So that dropped. I haven't seen it yet, but do you watch Chris Rock? I mean,
feel like
Dave Chappelle?
I would like his comedy. Like, I haven't gotten super into it, but Chris Rock is good too. It's just I have comedians that I like and comedians that I think are very overrated.
But Chappelle is up there.
But I'm gonna get so much heat for the people I think are
it's
overrated.
Okay.
No, Chappelle's great.
Those are your opinions.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
I'll give you shit. I love Amy Schumer.
And I think her writing is good, and I like Inside Amy Schumer, but I don't think her latest stand-up comedy special was all that great. And
the
I
leather
think,
special?
Which one?
The leather special?
I think it was that one, yeah.
Ash, did you watch it?
I did. I did watch the leather special. I did. Like, we're BFFs, me and Ames. I don't think it was her strongest either, but just because I think she fell a little bit on some, like... some lady part comedies. No. I mean, she was relying heavily on some comedy about, like, her body parts, which I was like, that's enough.
Okay.
That's probably good. But I do think she's funny. I have enjoyed all of her films. I liked Snatched. I like Trainwreck. I like the preview for her upcoming film. So she's funny. I like her. I dig her.
Oh, the new.
Yeah. I feel pretty.
Yeah. She's I like great. The title.
She was supposed to be in the Barbie movie.
Yeah, and they replaced her.
And then
her.
She dropped out.
I thought they replaced her with someone else.
I think she dropped out. Maybe, I don't know if it's a scheduling thing or maybe like they went in a different kind of direction. And I think Anne Hathaway signed up now to be in that movie. But I love the idea that Amy Schumer was going to be in the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
I actually liked it. I thought it was going to be hilarious.
That
yeah.
changes things. I wonder why. That changes things for me. Anne Hathaway is kind of looks like a Barbie as it is.
I feel like the movie is going to be totally different with Anne Hathaway. Like, it would have been probably really funny with Amy Schumer, but with Anne Hathaway, like, she's always been one of my favorites since I was a kid. Since Princess Diaries.
Princess Diaries.
Les Miserables. Like, everything she does, I love.
Speaking of female comedians and shows that are on Netflix, a lot of people are talking about Grace and Frankie in the chat, which is also a show that I continue to enjoy and have... I've been lucky enough to meet some of those cast members as well. And they're really great and fun people. And if you guys aren't on it, if you aren't already watching it, which I think a lot of people are, it's pretty popular.
it's like on season, I think season 5 now?
Yeah.
Or something, like something crazy, but it's definitely just keeps getting picked up.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's so unsuspecting. Like, for people that are already fans of it, as they're sure seem to be in the chat, it's so fun to watch these older women talk about some, like, very, very relevant and present issues. I love it. Grace and Frankie. It's good. I agree with everybody that's talking about it in the chat and, you know, maybe on the podcast comments.
Amy, did you watch anything else this week?
I did. a lot of... Wait, where'd it go? I'm looking at my list for you guys. Actually, it was a lot of Everything Sucks.
Good.
Good. Yeah, I know. See, you said it yourself.
No, I'll slow burn that one. I'll have it on in the background. I'll slow burn it.
While Amy's looking at her list, Rick, what did you watch this week?
Well, something that I did watch, and I wish Anthony could chime in on this, but he's one of our engineers, and he's in the engineering. I think he's doing another show right now. But I was watching this show today called The Ritual.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a horror movie. It's about four guys that go into the woods. They get lost and they get caught up in this like crazy tree that kills them. And now like I'm at the end stage where I think I have 15 minutes left, and they're with like a cult.
What? You stopped
a tree that kills
15
them?
15 minutes left.
So I think. I don't know quite the whole thing, because like, I haven't like... finished it yet, because I had to come here. I know my priorities. I had to come here, but I know like I could watch enough of it, talk about it. And
do you want to get back to finishing it? Like, do you?
Oh no, I totally do.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just like
this film was amazing. I just gotta say. By the way, this is Anthony.
Can everybody hear us?
Yes, everyone can hear me. Right, okay, now, good. Hopefully, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So, guys, this is Steve Kaufman, Kaufman.
Yeah, yeah, it's Anthony. You guys talking about The Ritual, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, what a fantastic!
All right,
film.
Dude, go.
I just gotta say the cinematography was fantastic. I feel like the cinematographer on there had a field day where they shot it. I believe it was in Sweden. The character dynamics between the characters is just so good too. I mean, it's one of those horror films that actually has some emotional depth to them. It's not just like a slasher film, although it is. In a sense, a monster movie at heart, because there is something that's hunting them out in the
woods. Yeah. No, I watched this because of you, because you were saying this one, and then I watched Before I Wake.
Sweet. Oh, yeah, Before I Wake was also fantastic.
The only thing I'm disappointed about it was because it was like PG-13. So like, right. when you do a horror movie that's PG-13, it already kind of loses me. It was really clever, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of those films as well that has that emotional depth to it because of like how the child was able to perceive everything as in... How he saw it as from a child's mindset, you know, how he what the canker man actually really was, and how the supposed canker man like took away her mother and everything.
Well, but, no, that's so scary.
No, it's great. It's so clever. When you get to the kind of the reveal, it's super clever. It's a little M. Night Shyamalan-esque.
That's a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it's good. It's clever.
It's one of those horror films that like made me cry a bit because I was like, it was so beautiful at the end.
Oh.
And that's Before I Wake.
Really, man? Yeah. Really, dude.
The Ritual was just The Ritual was its own kind of like. It didn't make me cry, but I really appreciated that film, and I really enjoyed it. And just a shameful plug real quick. In 2 weeks, I will have the director and the cinematographer of The Ritual, David Bruckner, the director David Bruckner and the cinematographer, come into Horror Movie News on Tuesday at 4 p.m., and that's, I believe, the 26th. I can't remember the exact date.
Awesome.
But in two Tuesdays.
27th.
So. 27th. Thank you. There you go. Yeah. So he'll be coming in on our Popcorn Talk Network.
Oh, that's great, dude. Thank you. And then are you going to be watching Jeepers Creepers 3?
Oh, yeah. Once I'm able to find it. Yeah. I love the Jeepers Creepers
franchise. Yeah, me too, man. I was excited when they found out that they were going to be doing a Jeepers Creepers 3, and it's being dropped on Netflix. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm so psyched for that. The first one was amazing. That's the first time I ever got exposed to Justin Long, too. And he's fantastic in that.
He's
yeah.
just not that into
it. It's such a good movie, too. Yeah. Thanks for letting me talk. I'm be out now.
No, thanks for popping on. I appreciate it.
You know, speaking of horror movies, I realize I never told you guys that I finally saw Gerald's Game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, this was a while ago. Mm-hmm. But guys, I didn't know what to expect because I kind of like watching. I don't know if you guys are the same. Where you'll just like watch something and it's like I don't know what it's about, but I'm just gonna be in for a treat.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And. I'm not going to say too much about it because I kind of want you guys to have the same experience, but 10 minutes in, I was like, wait, what? This is what's going to happen? Are you kidding me? And then I was in. So.
Yeah, it starts Bruce Greenwood and Carla Gugino, and it's based on a Stephen King story. So if you like Stephen King, then you should watch it.
Thanks, but no thanks.
So, all right, finally, this is what I'm going to wrap with, and it sucks that Steve Kaufman's not here. Maybe I'll bring it up again next week, but something that dropped is a feudal... stupid gesture, and usually on the thumbnail you'll see Will Forte's face like with a wig, and it's based on the creator of National Lampoon. So if you liked Animal House, if you liked Caddyshack, this is about the creator of the magazine and the producer of those movies in his life. And what I really liked about it is that's where a lot of like Bill Murray, Gilda Radner, Chevy Chase, all those guys got their start with the National Lampoon.
Is it a doc or is it a feature film? Like, what?
It's a film, but they do it in a like a funny documentary. Like, it's very National Lampoon. Like, it's okay. I'm saying, like, you get Will Forte there, like, playing, like, the younger character of the creator, and then you've got Martin Mull that plays, like, the older version of him, and then you've got, like, all these actors that go in, like, Joel McHale plays Chevy Chase.
Oh, that's perfect.
Which is crazy. Like, Jackie Chone from Glow, she plays Gilda Radner.
Oh.
So well, it's done very clever. Like, it's one of those movies, the same thing. You can kind of have it on the background, but I really knew nothing about the creator of National Lampoon, and he came from he was at Harvard, because like Harvard has their Harvard Lampoon. So he decided, I'm going to make this the National Lampoon. It's one of those movies that you can kind of just have on in the background and just have a good time. Like, you don't have to like be so tuned in, but it's funny.
What's it called again? Sorry.
A Futile, Stupid Gesture.
A Futile, Stupid Gesture.
Interesting title.
Got it.
So I know that's what's kind of weird, is that you would think the National Lampoon story or something, but it doesn't have that title in there. That's why you wouldn't think that. But when you start watching it, it's like, oh, here we go. So it's like a biopic, but done in a very humorous way.
Cool deal.
Interesting. Cool. I also have been watching a lot of Oscar-nominated movies. That's why I haven't really delved too far into the Netflix universe, and you know.
And speaking of, like, in 2 weeks, we probably won't be on air, because that's the Oscars, which I believe is March 4th.
Yeah. Also known as Hollywood's Most Holy Night.
Yeah, aww. so just know not to tune in, but I'll let you guys know again next week, but then, but then we'll be back, obviously, the week after that, so.
Cool. I'm so excited.
It's something that dropped on Netflix that came out is a show called Mortified, and I plan on having the creator on our show next week. So check it out. Everybody on the panel, check it out.
Is Mortified based on that show, that actual play show where it's like Mortified and they read their diaries?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah, I've been to a Mortified
friend,
show.
My friend, creator Dave Nadelberg, will be here to talk about the whole thing, how it got started. I don't want to give too many spoilers away. I'm just going to say watch it and then tune in.
That's so
and
exciting.
Jump into the chat. Because you know he'll be here to answer questions.
Oh, that's so great! I've loved those live shows. That'll be really fun to talk to him.
Yeah, so
very, very cool.
Wow, that looks good.
Anything else, ladies?
I mean, like, what will you be watching this week, Mina?
This week, I just found out that the Joel McHale show came back. So,
It's dropping this week. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I'll keep up with that just because I like seeing what's going on in the realm of pop culture. I don't have like.
Anything planned yet?
Yeah, nothing planned yet. Although I really like that show Atypical. It's been out for a while.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites. Cool. I'm gonna check out the comedy specials, and that's about it.
All right, man. So, where can everybody find you? Not only on social media, but here at AfterBuzz.
You can find me on the America's Next Top Model panel every Tuesday at 7 p.m.
And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Also, tonight, Sunday nights at 9 p.m., Box Office Breakdown, we're going to be talking about the Black Panther. Oh my gosh! And then tomorrow on Marvel TV Weekly at 7.
Wow, how do I follow that? I'm just here, guys. I'm just here on Sunday, or if you want to talk to me online, find me at Ashley on Camera. I'm always there, you know, but here on Sunday nights.
And you guys can find me exclusively on Twitter at Steve Coffins. Just kidding. You guys can find Steve at Steve KAUFMANN on Twitter. And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RICKHONG. We'll be back here next week, Netflix picks, and I'll have the creator of Mortified. Peace. See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Everything sucks.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.